Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, Lord, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people, Lord, in your house. Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. And Lord, that you would empower our lives to honor and glorify you, and that we would experience your great grace and mercy in a powerful way, Lord, that even the world would be able to see. And we'll give you all the praise, Lord, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is The Pathway of the Lord's Blessings. The Pathway of the Lord's Blessings. There is a pathway to the blessings of the Lord. And when we consider this word blessed, we know that it means, if you're familiar with it, happy, right? Happy, happy. This is where joy and happiness, real happiness, comes from. And this is really what God's plan is for all of humanity. Who destroyed the world? I mean, it was between the fall of Adam and Eve and the devil, right? They brought death and destruction into it. And God's plan from the very beginning was to bring blessings and happiness and joy, because that's the nature of the Lord. By the way, he is love, real love. Today you hear a lot of crazy things. Love is love. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Listen, if you want to love evil, there's no love at all in that. And by the way, what is evil is what God calls evil. And you will find out that the bottom line is those things that the world loves brings death and destruction. That's what they always do. And so we want to know what God says brings true happiness and true fulfillment in life. So, three thoughts this evening as we consider the pathway of the Lord's blessings. The first one is the way of the Lord's happiness. We'll consider how this process takes place. We want to know exactly how that happens. Secondly, the inward result of the Lord's happiness. There is something that God does on the inside. And then also the last thought will be the outward result of the Lord's happiness. And so as we consider verse 1, notice what it says here. Blessed are the undefiled. And so this word in the Hebrew is tamim, which means complete, whole, entire, and sound. This is dealing with the redeemed. That's how we're made complete and whole. As a fallen individual, it takes the Lord to enable us to be undefiled, right? It is the grace of God that gives us his righteousness that causes us from being defiled to the undefiled. So salvation has to be the first process. And then notice what he says, he's specific. So when you think about this, blessed are the undefiled. You could say simply, blessed are the redeemed. Amen? Blessed are the people of God. But it's specific. So we can be the people of God, but we must understand the complete verse here. Notice what he says here, blessed are the undefiled. How? In the way. See, this is important, in the way. Listen, Ahab was part of the redeemed people, but he didn't live that way, did he? No, he did not. And so he was not in the way. He was going his own way. And Elijah was the prophet that was in the way. And when Ahab met up with Elijah, you remember what he said to him? Are you he that troubleth Israel? Do you remember that? He was calling Elijah, the man of God, pointing people to the truth of God, the troubler of Israel. And Elijah said, no, you are, because you have caused the people to walk contrary to the way of the Lord. So we want to be in God's way, not in our own way. Ahab thought he was right. Imagine that he had the actual unmitigated gall to say to the man of God, you are troubling. That's like, listen, Elijah, although flesh and blood and although just a man, he was God's delegated authority to proclaim the truth. Amen? And so this ungodly king Ahab was pointing a finger at him and saying, you're the troublemaker. But really the problem was in his own shoes, wasn't it? And so we want to be mindful of that we are not walking in our way, because the Bible says that we will end up doing that which we think is right but wrong before the Lord. And we'll start calling the things that are right wrong, and we'll start calling the things that are wrong
Right. And we don't want to do that. So blessed are the undefiled, notice, in the way. And more specifically, when we think about this in the way, that means on the road or in the direction, in the right path. Right. So if you're looking for directions and you're looking to get to a specific place, can you just take any road you feel like? Well, that's how people look at a relationship with the Lord. Well, let's see. Today, I think I'm going to go on Sunday. I'm going to go worship the Lord in the woods, on the boat. I'm going to worship God, you know, just however I just please, right? I mean, after all, God's everywhere, so He'll just hear me. No, listen, God's got a specific way and a specific place for us to follow Him. And so if we're just, listen, we won't wind up, oh, listen, people are free to do that, but you're not going to wind up at the desired destination, right? If you don't follow the directions, you're not going to end up at the desired destination. So not only do we have to be undefiled, not only do we have to be on the right road in the way, but we have to walk, right? We have to walk. And that means to proceed or move in a specific direction. In this particular case, it's in the law of the Lord. So let's put that together there. And notice what he says right here. Blessed are the undefiled, the redeemed, who walk in the way, that's a specific direction, that seek, listen, I'm sorry, who walk in the law of the Lord. So that really is moving in a specific direction. And so that has to be our guide, and we have to be serious with the Lord. Lord, I want to walk in the law. Amen? I want to walk according to your will. I want to walk according to your righteousness. You remember, now listen, we're not under the law, but you remember what the Lord himself said about the law and grace? He said, listen, but I say unto you, you have heard it said, he quoted the law, but I say unto you, he's telling us that grace, and Paul says it also, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that what the Lord told us there in the book of Romans chapter 6? And so God doesn't want us to continue in sin. He says, God forbid. You know, if we're the redeemed, we are supposed to be the light of the world. We need to take God's specific directions to be very important in our lives. But here's the beauty of the truth. God does not intend for you and I to do it in our strength, does he? That's key important because, listen, that will frustrate us. We will try with the best of intentions and we will fail. So here's a thought. If we fail, who's in control? The Lord or us? We will fail every time. So if we fail, then we need to stop and say, Lord, forgive me and give me more light and show me how to walk your way. And Lord, I need you to do this for me. Do you know God wants to answer that prayer? That's where the people of God get set on fire. Amen. When we start approaching the Lord to honor him, Lord, I want my life to count for you. Amen. And if I want it to count for you, the beauty of it is that before I wanted it to count for you, you wanted it to count for you. God purposed each and every one of us to be an honor and a glory to his name. Isn't that the truth? All right. So we're on the winning side. We can't lose. And so when we fail the Lord, we just need to stop right there and say, Lord, this is not your plan. I want to walk in your plan. I want to walk in your will and in your way. All right. So here, as we consider the way of the Lord's happiness, we have the undefiled. Then we also have a specific path here, if you will. Look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Whose testimonies? The Lord's. His. The Lord's. And so God says, we're happy if we keep the testimonies of God. And you know what it means to keep? The Hebrew word there means to guard and to preserve. That means you keep it from spoiling, right? That doesn't mean that when you touch it, you spoil it. That means that you want to keep it from spoiling. So what do we do if we're not walking on that specific path? If we're not keeping the testimonies of the Lord? Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I need you. See, listen, do you know what God really wants us to understand? We're dependent on him if we're going to succeed for the honor and glory of the Lord. And we can't just pray once a week about it. And we can't just pray, in fact, once a day about it if we want it. It has to be a perpetual thought in our hearts and minds. Lord, give me a heart for you that I would think about you and the way you want me to walk. That's God's plan. We bring God alongside of us, and in fact, we allow him to be out in front of us, and we'll follow him as he leads us in his way. So we find this specific path means that we keep it, to guard, to preserve it. And notice how we're supposed to keep it. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Again, remember, guard, preserve, keep. That notice that, and that seek him with what? The whole heart. The whole heart. Right? Can you tell when somebody's got a whole heart for something? Yes. Yeah? How about this? Can you tell somebody when they're half-hearted? You ever see somebody work half-hearted? You know, they're dragging around. If people had a task at hand and they'd work at getting it done, they'd feel a whole lot happier. Amen? But sometimes I think people think they're going to get something for nothing, and it never works that way. Do you know, if you got a task at hand and you diligently work at it, you can step back and say, man, that was a good job. You can feel good about it. But if you drag on it, it's never going to get done. And it will always be hanging over your head. And that's not the way the Lord wants it to take place in our lives. We ought to be excited about it. And here's a wonderful thought about it. The Lord will bring success in it all. So we want to keep his testimonies with a whole heart. We want to be excited. And by the way, that's the way to the Lord's happiness. So Lord, show me, give me a heart to walk in your will and your way and to guard your word in my life. That I might walk upright, and that I don't look to skirt around it. I don't look to kind of, well, you know... And again, I know people don't mean anything, you know, by this, and I've said it too. You know, you're working on a job, and maybe you get tired, and some people say, well, that's good enough for government work. You ever heard that? That's good enough for government work. Well, see, I remember years ago we were putting rocks, we were putting rocks in a flower bed, right? I don't know what kind of flower bed it was, but we were putting these rocks. And anyway, this friend of ours said, I get you all the rocks you want. And I said, wow, how many? You got about a good foot, and it was probably about 20 foot long. You know how many loads? You know how much work that is? Anyway, we were taking shovels, and we were going to fill it up all the way to the top. And boy, I tell you, I don't remember how many trips it took to get it about three quarters of the way, almost to the top. And we looked at that, and we looked at each other and said, that looks pretty good to me. How about you? Amen. And it wasn't a horrible thing, but here's the whole thing. We were whooped. Amen. We didn't think it would look any better a little fuller than it was already. We thought, boy, that, you know, I don't think it can get any better than that. Amen. We don't want to do that with the Lord's work. Amen. We want to do the whole job because he will provide the grace and the mercy necessary. All right, second thought here. We'll take note of the inward result of the Lord's happiness. What happens when we're seeking the Lord's happiness on the inside? Look at what the Lord says here in verse 3. This is the plan. Notice, they also do no iniquity. These are the undefiled that are walking in the law of the Lord, that are in the way, walking in the law of the Lord. Notice what he says, they also do no iniquity. You know why? Because God is with them. Listen, when David had the Lord on his heart and mind, he did the right thing. Do you remember when he went into the cave where Saul was sleeping and he could have killed him right there? But the Lord was on his heart and mind, and he said, you cannot touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. You remember that? And listen, his friend, I believe it was Abishai, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on that. Anyway, he said, I'll just smite him once, and that's it. But he was going to kill him, amen? And he said, no, we can't. And twice that happened, right? Where David had advantage over Saul, and he let him go. Meanwhile, remember this, Saul was out to kill David. He was out to kill David, and listen, because David was in tune, not with his own heart, but with God's heart, he said, nope, I'm gonna honor the Lord in this. Now, we can also look at David's life when he didn't honor the Lord, can't we? And he went his own. We don't want to walk that way. And David would tell you, that was a big mistake. And I praise the Lord. Don't take it for granted that the Lord restored unto him the joy of his salvation in Psalm 51. All right. So as we consider this inward result, we find the plan to do no iniquity, to walk in his ways. And then notice here again, verse 3, we're going to go right into verse 4. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Now notice this. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts how? Diligently. Don't you like a diligent worker? Do you know God loves diligent servants? God loves people. He loves us regardless. I want you to know that. He loves us. But we honor him when we're serious about his work. Listen, we honor him, and he honors those who honor him, doesn't he? He'll always love you as a child of God. He will always love you and always have you come back into his way if you step out. But the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or right toward him. That's what he wants to do. And so there's a blessing there if we seek to diligently keep the precepts of God. So that's the priority, right? We saw the plan, to not walk in iniquity. We've seen the priority to be diligent about it. And then we find this desirous plea from the psalmist, right? Watch what happens here in verse 5. Oh, that my ways, plural, were directed to keep thy statutes. Did you see that exclamation point at the end? Does that mean excitement? Does that mean zeal? Does that mean some fervor in his heart and mind about what he's saying? He was compassionate. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That ought to be our cry. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We're in good shape because that's the Lord's will. He will direct our ways if we'll acknowledge him. Last thought. The outward result of the Lord's happiness. So not only does it affect the inside, it affects the outside. And that's, by the way, that's what people can see, right? The work of God. All right. So notice verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. No shame. No shame. No skeletons in the closet. Everything's above board. Everything is as it appears. Amen? Everything is as it appears. If it's holy and right, it is because it's that way. Even when nobody is looking, we are upright with the Lord. You know why? Because we're not putting on a show. Our walk with the Lord is not a show. If it is, we're hypocrites. Our life ought to be what it is because God sees us all the time. And he's the one that shed his blood and paid his... So if we're living one way in front of people and living another way and when we're not in front of people or when we're in front of people that don't know the Lord, that's a problem. That disgraces and dishonors. And by the way, listen, people need to be able to check who they really are on this side of eternity, lest you stand before God and him say, I never knew you. Listen, God's not playing games. God the Father did not hold back one iota of wrath and judgment for the sin of the world, did he? He did not withhold one drop of wrath on his son for our redemption. Do you think he'll withhold any wrath from any one of us? Do you think he'll withhold wrath? And I'm not talking about the redeemed. I'm talking about the world. People that say, oh, listen, God's such a God of love. He'll forgive my sins. Oh, not if you rejected the blood of Christ. You'll get the full brunt of the blow of condemnation that was intended without the grace of God. If God did not withhold his judgment on his son, we shouldn't think he would do that with us either. And so, if anybody ever says that to you, you might want to tell them, God didn't withhold his wrath from his son. What makes you think you're any better? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't make it. So, We find positive consequences. No shame. Amen? No shame. And notice the progress here. Look at verse 7. I will praise thee with an uprightness of heart. Isn't that good? Praise when I shall have learned thy righteousness. So he says here, look, did you see that? When I learn your righteousness, Lord, I'm going to praise you with an upright heart to God. That's a good place to be. Last thought. Look, notice the promotion. Verse 8. I will keep thy statutes, forsake me not utterly. Did you see that? I will keep your statutes. Lord, I am moving forward. I won't have any shame. I'm going to be able to praise you with an upright heart to the Lord, and I will keep your statutes. That is an outward testimony that God is at work in our lives. When we walk upright because of the Lord, not because of people watching. We're not putting on a show for anybody. We are serving our Savior. Amen? And so tonight, as we consider this, this is the Lord's pathway of His blessings for who? For His people. For His people. And let me ask you this question. Does He want us to walk it in those ways? Has He left us out to ourselves? Has He said, you're on your own, all by yourself? Or has He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? Isn't that good? Amen. And so we can count on the Lord to show us His way, pathway of His blessings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the reminder that you've given to us. Bless, Lord, as we prepare for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.